If you have your Bibles tonight in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, Acts the 17th chapter, I'd like to begin reading at verse 24 of the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. The Bible said in Acts 17, verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in the temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. Then I want to read a very familiar portion of Scripture, one verse, Romans 6, verse 23. I think everyone's familiar with it. But in the book of Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 23, we'd like to read that in your hearing tonight. And I believe the Lord will help us. We'll endeavor to preach. We're in the book of Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 23. The Bible said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The Lord will help me tonight. I want to preach on this subject. I want to live. I want to live. I believe that it is a natural, inborn instinct to want to live. If you're here tonight and you do not want to live, something's wrong with you. Either you have reached a place where your mental faculties are not working properly, or you have reached a place in your physical being that you're no longer enjoying anything in life. But it is a natural thing with a man to want to live. Lots of times we say, "Oh, I'd just be so glad when I can just leave this old world and go on and be with God in heaven." But the truth of the matter is, if you got sick tonight and you thought you was leaving this world, you'd be getting a hold of Brother Wiley and Brother Rich and everybody else wanting us to pray for you. And that's all right, because you want to live. On May the 7th, 1935, in a little ramshackle shack outside of a little town called Sparks, Oklahoma, Don Rich, this man you're looking at tonight, was born there into the Rich family. I developed double pneumonia in my lungs, and in a few days, the old doctor told my mother, said, "That baby's not going to live, he's going to die." But my mother looked at that old doctor and said, "I did not carry that boy 9 months and bring him into this world to die. I brought him into this world to live, and he's going to live." And live I did. A year later, I got into the fire, and I burned my head and my hands and my side, and erysipelas and blood poisoning set in. And the same old doctor looked at my mother and said, "Your boy's not going to live, he's going to die." And my mother, being a rather bold woman, you want to know where Bill and I got our boldness? I guess we inherited a lot of that from our mother. But my mother, being a bold woman, she looked at that old doctor and said, "You told me that a year ago, that my boy was going to die, and he's still alive. Doctor, you're wrong again. This boy's not going to die, he's going to live." And live I did. It's a natural instinct to want to live. A newborn baby brought into the world will fight for life. An old man or an old woman with look like not another breath hardly left will fight for life. And that is a natural God-given instinct to want to live. Over 20-some years ago, in a little old-fashioned church where the old-fashioned gospel of Jesus Christ was being preached, I found a new life in Christ Jesus. I didn't get in this to backslide, amen, to go back on God and die out spiritually. I got in this thing to live, and I'm planning on living.
There's two things that I was afraid of when I was a child. I was afraid of the darkness. Brother Fred, come and get this cord untangled for me. I was afraid of the darkness. Several reasons for that. I had a brother 5 years older than me by the name of Bill, and he just loved to scare me. He'd hide down behind the barn and sheets and different things waiting for me to come down because he knew I was afraid of the dark. And my dad would send me down there to milk early in the morning, and Bill would be waiting there to scare me. And I was afraid of the dark, and I was afraid of death. And the reason I was afraid of death when I was 6 years old, my Uncle Jim died. And they brought Uncle Jim Rich over to the house where we were living in the coffin. Put him in the house, left him there 2 days and 2 nights, I believe. And I'd come by that coffin and I was scared to death almost of this dead man. Found out later dead men can't hurt you. Got to worry about life, folks. But at that time, I was afraid of the dark and I was afraid of death. As I grew older and began to take on manhood, the fear of the darkness began to leave me. Now, I still like the day better than I do the darkness. That's right. But I do stay in rooms by myself without a babysitter. And I travel across the country alone and nobody has to be with me. And that sort of dispelled my fear of death, of darkness. But I still had the fear of death. And I was afraid to die. But I went into the old-fashioned church and I heard an old-fashioned message about Jesus Christ and He came to bring life. And I began to look to the Lord for eternal life. And down at an old-fashioned altar, amen, the burden of sin rolled away and the fear of death left me. And I began to live in Christ Jesus. And I'd like to tell you tonight, it's still my desire to live. They tell me, doctors will tell you, if you lose your desire to live, you'll die. There's not much they can do for you. If they get a patient in there that loses their desire to live, medication doesn't seem to do much for them. But I'll tell you, I have a desire to live in the Lord. How about you tonight? And if I get a hold of somebody in the church that's determined to backslide and they don't want to go home with God, the preaching of the gospel, no matter how it's applied, it'll not do them much good. But I pray in this place tonight, we've got a group of people that's wanting to live. And the only thing that can kill you is sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, I came into the world. The thief cometh not before to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Brother, I want to live. That's why I live for the Lord. That's why I serve Him in the beauty of holiness. The only thing that can stop me and kill me is sin. As long as I stay out of sin, I'm going to live. Because Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. For in this man Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. So I want to live tonight. Sister Rich, my wife, had just sang. Only wife I've ever had now. 27 years I've been with her. Took a marriage vow one time that I'd stay with her till death parts us. Amen. And doesn't matter what I do, that vow's still binding in the sight of God. Just throw that in while I'm right there. And I love her and I'm planning on staying with her. Amen. No matter what happens, I'm planning on staying with her. But she looked at me here a while back and she said, honey, you're going to have to slow down. Said, you're running here and there. I've been in Mexico maybe a time or two this year. I've been up in the state of Maine, down in Florida, up in California. Amen. Come from Virginia down to Savannah, Georgia, over here. I've been going. And Sister Rich said, honey, you better slow down. Said, you're getting old. And said, you're going to die if you don't slow down. I looked at her and I said, honey, I'm not getting old and I'm not going to die. And she said, "You hadn't looked in the mirror recently, have you?" Said, "Boy, you go in there and look." Said, "You got crow's feet coming out from each one of those eyes. You're getting old." I said, "Honey, I'm not getting old. Don't you ever believe that I'm getting old and I'm not going to die." And she said, "Don't you be silly." Said, "You know you're getting old and you know you're going to die." I said, "Honey, I'm going to tell you something." I said, "You meet me a million years from now over on the sunny banks of Sweet Deliverance, and I'll prove to you I wasn't getting old and I'm not going to die. This old house I'm living in, brother, amen, it may be getting a little worn out, but Brother Danny Hudson, I got in this to live. I didn't get in it to die. I want to live. That's why I'm serving God. I want to live." Woo! Hallelujah. Listen to me. Amen. Listen to me now. Did you know that Job was attacked by the devil? I believe he went under greater persecution than any other man outside of Jesus Christ. For you see, every earthly possession that he had was taken away from him. He lost his cattle. He lost his sheep. He lost his oxen. He even lost his sons and daughters. Amen. The Bible bears it out. Amen. Lost all of his servants except just a few who ran to tell the sad news of what had happened to all of his cattle, his sheep and his oxen and his camels. And then the devil comes, amen, and tries him again. Said, "Skin for skin, all that a man has, he'll give for his life." And the devil said to God, said, "Pull that hedge from around that man and I'll make him curse you to his face, to your face." Amen. But when Job got the message that every earthly possession that he had was taken away, the Bible said he rent his clothes and he fell down and worshiped. And he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in all of these things, brother, Job did not charge God foolishly, but he retained his integrity with God. But now here the devil comes as God gives him leave. Said, "Go out and afflict this body. He'll curse you to your face." So here comes the devil with the worst affliction that he could put upon a man. Smites him with boils from the crown of his head clear down to the sole of his feet. Job loses his position in the city. There was a day when everybody looked up to Job, but now he loses his position in the city. He loses his position among men. And finally, his affliction becomes so severe that we find Job out clothed in sackcloth, sitting in an ash pile, scraping himself, amen, with a potsherd, a piece of broken pottery, amen, scraping out the old corruption out of those boils. His wife looked out and no doubt saw a skeleton of a man out there. And she walked out and she said, "Job, do you still retain your integrity with God? Why don't you just curse God and die?" I'll tell you why Job didn't curse God and die. Job didn't want to die. Job want to live. And he said, "You speak as one of the foolish women, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the latter day he shall stand upon this earth. And though after the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me, I want to live, woman. That's why I'm not cursing God. I want to live." How about you tonight? Do you want to live? Have you got a desire to live? Do you want to serve God? Sin's the only thing that can kill you. It's the only thing that can stop you. I read an article a few years ago about a young man out working in a field with a harvester. Maybe some of you read it. I believe it was in the Reader's Digest. Caught one of his arms in some of that machinery. And that machinery held him there. And it looked like he was going to lose his life. But he had such grit, amen, and he had such stamina to live and such a desire to live that he got a saw out. Amen. Somehow he reached a toolbox and got out a hacksaw. And he stood right there, amen, and sawed that arm off. Amen. Left it in the machinery. To the amazement of the doctors, he got in his own truck and drove around 17 miles, amen, to a hospital to seek medical care. Amen. What brought him there was a desire to to live. I'd like to tell you the devil's pitched many things against me over the last few years, and you too, that you're standing for holiness and righteousness. But the devil, I want you to know, amen, it's better for me to lose one hand. If my right hand offend me, I'll just cut it off. Amen. I'm going to see God. I'm going to live, brother. I'm in this thing to live, not die. I'm planning on living. How about you? Amen. If Christ came to bring eternal life, it's the essence of the gospel. It's everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you want to live? When folks begin to backslide, get cold in their soul, start picking up the things of the world, it's because they lose their desire to live. And when they lose their desire to live, kind of like a doctor. You know, a doctor can try everything in that black bag, but if they don't respond to it, amen, his patient's going to die. There's times I pulled everything I could think of out of that black back Bible. Preached love to them for a while, and they wouldn't respond. Amen. Move over in another area and preach that to them for a while, and no response. But they tell me years ago, the doctors carried in their bag what they call the killer shot. Amen. Once they, you ever gotten such bad shape, they had to pull out that killer shot. It means if that did not work, you was dead. It was your last hope, your last remedy. When everything else failed, they'd pull out that killer shot, hoping that their victim of whatever disease it might be or sickness it might be would respond and come back alive. Well, let me tell you something, brother. It may look like the preacher in this modern day of evil. Amen. It may look like he has no compassion, but we've reached a generation in the church age that sin is killing, and the only thing that's going to work is the killer shot, old time holiness preaching. Brother, if holiness and preaching against worldliness don't bring the church back to life, nothing's going to work. Woo! Hallelujah. I want to live, Brother Fred. That's why I'm preaching like I'm preaching tonight. I want to live. Too many people have lost their desire. Over the years that I've been pastoring, I've seen many a person lose out with God. I remember one time I was pastoring a church, and there's a young man that began to lose out with God, a young married man. And I thought, oh no, this man's backsliding. When we got ready to pray, he'd grab his wraps and head out the door. Amen, head right out. He wouldn't respond to the altar call. No response to the preaching. No response in the song service. And I knew that he was dying. I began to fast and pray that God would get a hold of his heart. And one night I was preaching, and as I was preaching, I thought I saw a little hand go up, you know, just a little ways. And I thought, did he really raise his hand to me while he's preaching, while I was preaching, or did he just do that to wipe his face or something? You know, if somebody's dying and they make any movement at all, amen, it kind of encourages you. Pretty soon I preached on a while longer, and I saw him raise that hand a little bit higher, and I said, my Lord, he's coming back to life. I just lost sight of everybody else in that congregation. I zeroed this old black back Bible right in on him, brother, and I began to preach with all that I had, and the first thing you know, that hand was in the air. After a while, when I gave the altar call, amen, he come right down the aisle weeping and said, Brother Rich, I'm losing out. I'm a dying out. Yes, sir, you'll die unless you get to Jesus Christ, the life giver, and respond to the old fashioned gospel. You'll die completely out and lose your soul. I want to live. Young people, listen. The only thing that can kill you is sin. That's right. That's why we preach against the world. It'll kill you. You get wrapped up in the ball games. Come on now. And the blue socks and the pink socks and whoever else they are. Red socks. Get all wrapped up in them. And the first thing you know, amen, you've lost your desire to live for God. And the sports world has captivated your mind. You're going to help me while I preach.
you're not careful, you'll find yourself turning into one of those recreation rooms wanting to slug old Pac-Man. Amen. You're on your way out. I'm telling you, on your way out. If you want to live, you've got to get on the road to life. You've got to get with Jesus Christ. And brother, he can give you a transfusion and bring you back to life. You take a man that's losing blood, he'll become an anemic. Isn't that right? And after he loses so much blood, his system runs down. And he becomes susceptible to every little disease. Every little virus rolls along, he'll take it. Because his resistance is weak. How long has it been since you've been to the fountain that's filled with blood, drawn from the Emmanuel's veins? Amen. And got you another shot. Did you know, amen, there's a way that they can inoculate you by giving you certain kinds of medicines. Smallpox, for instance. I remember when we had to go and be vaccinated for smallpox. If it took, it'd leave a scar. But once it took, you could walk right in, amen, where other folks had smallpox and not take it. You don't understand what I'm preaching. But when you get a hold of this lifeline and you're covered by the blood, you're in this old sinful world, but you're not of this world. And because you've been inoculated. If you're looking toward sin tonight, if you're looking toward the things of the world, it's time you got you another shot. If you hold still right, I'll give you a little shot. Vaccinate you again. Turn to Jesus. Turn to the life giver and live in Jesus Christ. Whew. I'm trying to preach tonight on I want to live. I don't want to die. I want to live. You say, well, Brother Rich, you're going to die. Oh, I told you already, I'm not going to. And now you mean you're preaching never die? That's exactly what I'm preaching. Jesus stood, amen, before Mary and Martha. Over on the hillside was their brother Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days. And he told Martha, said, your brother is going to rise again. Martha said, Lord, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me and liveth shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said, yea, Lord, I believe. Oh, it's true. This old house of mine, I may have to leave behind. Because you see, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God anyhow. But there's something inside of me that's crying out tonight. I want to live. I want to live. Amen. You may want me to go with you, son. Amen. Down to the football game. But the reason I can't go is I want to live. Amen. You may want me to go in and watch it with you, your favorite television program. But I can't do it. Because you see, I'm wanting to live. I've got a desire to live. Hallelujah. Oh yes. You say, well, Brother Rich, if they drop a bomb, it's going to kill you and you'll die then. Oh no, they may send me home a little early, but they're not going to kill me. That's right. I said, they may send me on home a little early, but they're not going to kill me, brother. And I ask each and every one of you that's listening to me tonight that wants to live, get your anchor in Jesus Christ. And a million years from now, meet me over there by the tree of life, and I'll prove to you that I wasn't going to die, but that I was going to live in Christ Jesus. Because he lives, I can live also. Whew. I'm reminded of old Brother Moss. Brother Moss was a brother up there in Kansas City who went to another church where a good big group of black people attended the church, mixed congregation. And we went over there some to church, and I loved old Brother Moss. And he lived with the pastor, Brother Clayton. One day Brother Clayton called me and said, Brother Rich, would you go visit Brother Moss? Said he's in intensive care, not expected to live. I went up to visit him. I'll never forget what he did. I walked in. I said, how are you doing, Brother Moss? He raised that oxygen mask. He said, well, Brother Rich, said, tell me, I'm getting ready to die. But said, really, I'm just getting ready to live. That's what he said. I mean, that's one thing to say that here when you're feeling good, but it's another thing when you're laying there in intensive care. He said, furthermore, said, I've done told the girls at the church what I want them to sing at my funeral. Said, yes, sir, Brother Rich, I'm getting ready to live. I didn't know that was the last time I'd talked to him, but he passed on a couple days later. Brother Clayton called me and said, Brother Rich, Brother Moss was so close to me, and my family said, I can't preach his funeral. Would you help me and preach Brother Moss's funeral? Well, it's not hard to preach a man's funeral, amen, who tells you I want to live on his dying bed. I said, yes, sir. I went to that funeral, and we had about two-thirds black and about a third white in that congregation, Brother Danny. Amen. And when those girls got up to sing, they said, we are singing today a song by request. One of the songs that Brother Moss requested. Amen. You'd have thought you had been at a Shambach campaign. Amen. That girl hit that organ. Amen. Began to blast that thing out. Amen. And they started singing a song, Don't You Weep For Me When I'm Gone. You know the song. Amen. At the last of us said, goodbye, world, goodbye. Oh my, that's a strange song to sing at a funeral. After a while, they said, by request, we're singing another song for Brother Moss. By request. I thought, well, this will probably be Beyond the Sunset or some slow song. They hit that organ again. I don't remember all the words, but something about the last part of it said, just a little bit of dirt, just a little bit of gravel. Don't you bury me deep, because I've got to travel. I'm going to kneel at the feet of Jesus in the morning. That's the hope of the church, brother, in a world full of sin, in a world full of darkness, in a world full of dying. I offer you eternal life in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He come and tasted of death for every man. Defeated the devil. Defeated death. When John the Revelator saw him, he had some keys in his hand, and he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. I want to live. Whew. I want to live. Hallelujah. Go on out there and sin, and you'll die in your sins. The wages of sin is death. But come to Jesus and live, live, live. Hallelujah. Brother, I'm wanting to live tonight. That's why I'm preaching this gospel. I want to live. You may hear that old Brother Rich is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. Don't you believe it, brother. If somebody rolls in here a month from now, our Brother Fred gets a phone call, he comes out to the church and said, got real bad news. Brother Rich is dead. He died. Don't you folks believe a word of it. Say, Brother Fred, we don't believe it. Amen. We don't believe it. When Brother Rich was here, he was preaching on, I want to live. Amen. Don't you believe it? Say, just refuse to accept it. And just meet me over there. Amen. In that land. Amen. Where the worm dieth over there in that land. Amen. Where there's no more death, no more sorrow, no more tears. Amen. But if you refuse to go there and the heavenly world, you're going to go into a place where there's dying, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched in an eternal hell. You better get in this thing if you want to live. You better get with Jesus. You say, now, Brother Rich, are you telling us that you're not going to die? That's what I'm preaching tonight. I want to live. Amen. You say, yes, but only two men ever got out of here without dying. That's right. And let me tell you about them. The Bible said, Brother Garland Stone, that Enoch walked with God. Didn't say God walked with Enoch. Said Enoch walked with God. This tells me that Enoch turned and went God's way. If you want to walk with God, you'll have to turn off the course you're on. God will never turn off the highway of holiness to walk with any man. If you want to walk with God like Enoch walked with God, you'll have to change your course in this life and get on the highway of holiness, because He is a holy God. And Isaiah said, a way shall be there and a highway, and it shall be called the way of holiness. That's the one God's on. And if, how many agree that God's on that one? Well, then you'll have to agree, if Enoch walked with God,
You'll have to agree then. Amen. If Enoch walked with God, Enoch was on the highway of holiness. Well, wouldn't you have to say, if Don Rich walks with God, he'd have to be on the highway of holiness? I mean, that's where we get the holiness doctrine, see? Amen. It's a holy God and a holy Christ and a holy angels and a holy city and a holy highway. And I believe it'll be a holy people that's walking with God that makes heaven their home. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And the old black preacher put it this way, and I liked it. He said, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Every day, he walked with God. Go out and walk with God. Over 300 years, he walked with God 300 years. And one day, Enoch said to God, God, I believe I'm closer to your house than I am back home to mine. I think I'll just go on home with you. And he walked on out of here. Amen. And went on to be with the Lord. That was another man by the name of Elijah. Amen. Both of these men, incidentally, were holiness preachers. Elijah even rebuked the Jezebels in his day. Oh, put a curse on the land for the wickedness and closed up the heavens. You know I'm preaching the Bible to you. And Enoch was also the seventh from Adam. And he preached a holiness message, and you can read part of it in the book of Jude. I said he was holiness. He was a holiness man. But that one day Elijah overcrossed the river of Jordan. Amen. As he talked to Elisha, all of a sudden God said, it's time to go get that holiness preacher. Why are you going to go after him, Lord? Why are you going after him in? Took an old chariot. Amen. Sent it out of heaven and set that chariot on fire. Put some horses, pull it, and set the horses on fire. And here those horses set on fire by God, and that chariot on fire begin to roll down across the Milky White Way. Amen. Past Pluto, Jupiter, Brother Fred. Amen. Venus and Mars. Amen. Move right on down close to the earth. And God sent a big strong whirlwind and scooped up the man of God. Set him in that chariot that was on fire. And those horses changed their course and started back ascending toward that heavenly world. Taking a holy man of God. Amen. On through to the heavenly world. I don't know whether black preacher had it right or not, but he said Gabriel, he likes to blow that horn, and said Gabriel came through heaven one day and said, God, I've always been good, a good angel. When the rest of them rebelled against you, I stood up for you. And God, I've been obedient every time you sent me on an errand, I've went. But Lord, would you let me blow that shiny horn that's sitting there? And God said, no, Gabriel, it's not time to blow that horn. But oh God, I love to blow that horn. Please let me blow it. And God said, all right, Gabriel, I'm going to let you blow it, but you can just give it a little short blast. That's all. Just a little short blast, and you've got to put it back down. And the black preacher said, oh, Gabriel picked it up and gave a little short blast, and in walked Enoch. Amen. God said, put it down, Gabriel. Can't blow it no more. And after a while, after several hundred years went by, amen, Gabriel came back through, said, let me blow that horn again. God said, Gabriel, you can't blow that horn no more. Amen. It's not time yet, but God, I've been obedient to you. If you'll just let me blow it a little tiny bit more, I'll not blow it anymore till you tell me I can blow it again. God said, all right, but just one little short blast. And he gave a little short blast and then rolled that chariot on fire with old Elijah on board. Amen. I don't know how true it is, but somewhere in the heavenly world, have a feeling old Gabriel is walking around looking at that horn again. Amen. Saying, God, let me blow that horn. I don't know how much longer it's going to be, but I believe before long, God's going to say, okay, Gabriel, pick that thing up and blow it this time. Blow it so loud and blow it so long that you wake up all the dead that sleep in Christ Jesus and bring them back alive. Oh, hallelujah. That's why I'm living for God. I want to live. Hallelujah. How many want to live tonight? Don't you? Don't you want to live? Send a friend. You got to get in this thing. If you want to live, sins are killing you. Sins destroying you. And I'd like to tell you something, church. You, if you've got any sense at all, you don't like to see folks die. Anybody that wants to see someone else die and stand back and watch them die is either demon-possessed or crazy, one of the two. And maybe both. And probably are. Listen to me. And I'm trying to close. I've preached too long already on this hot night. But I'd like to tell you tonight, amen, that the church of the living God, how can we watch folks die? And we say we have compassion. In the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Bible tells us that a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. He could go either way. He was just as much alive as he was dead, and he was just as much dead as he was alive. And there came one of those charismatics by. Hey man, wasn't enough spotlight out there for him. He saw that the Bible said a certain priest, amen, by chance a certain priest came down that way. And when he saw that man, the Bible said he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he came along, he saw him, came and looked at the place where he's at and looked on him, and then he went by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, when he came to where he was at, the Bible said he had compassion on him. He got down off of his beast. He took that poor dying man. He wanted him to live, Brother Fred. He took that poor dying man and he poured in oil and wine and bound up his wounds and then put him on his own beast. And he walked and let the dying man ride. He wanted that dying man to live. Took him to an inn. Amen. Reached in his pocket. Amen. Took out his own money. Checked in. And the Bible said he took care of him. I guess the next day or two, the patient looked better. For the man was on a journey and he come out to the innkeeper and he said, here's some money. Take care of that man. In other words, whatever it costs, whatever the price, you keep him alive. If you run up any bigger bill than what I'm leaving you, when I return, I'm going to reimburse you. I'm going to pay every bit of it back. Remember, don't hold back anything to keep this man alive, because I'm picking up the tab on it. I'm paying the bill. Whatever you have to use, amen, to keep this man alive, use it. Because I'm the one that's paying the bill. Oh, church, let's don't be so stingy with our time, with our efforts, and with our money. Because, amen, the Lord's the one's picking up the tab on all of this. And any effort we expend, amen, to take care of the lost and the dying and the perishing, when He comes back, He's going to repay us, brother. Everything we've used, every effort we've used, He's going to make it good. Amen, let's use everything we've got, amen, to reach the lost and the dying while there's yet time and opportunity. Yes, sir, I want to live. I'm closing tonight, but oh, if we could just get that desire in our hearts. Backslider, don't backslide on God. Lukewarm Christian, you come back to Jesus tonight. I have a feeling if some of you don't get in this camp meeting, you're going to die before long. You're already looking at some of the things that you one time laid down. You're already starting to pick some of those things back up. If you don't get back into the altar and get a hold of God, you're going to die out and die in your sins. But brother, I want to live. Hallelujah. I want to live. Amen. Let's get a song, Brother Fred. Oh, if we could just get a desire in the hearts of the people to want to live. Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. You say, well, I thought the Apostle Paul said he died daily. Yes, he did. And Galatians 2:20, he also said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Lord Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'll tell you tonight, I hope you've got a desire to live. Better put that sin down, because the wages of sin is death. Better get rid of those things that are robbing you of your victory. Amen. Because you're going to die unless you do. You're going to die. Die in your sins. Oh, I was told that in the state of Maryland, there was a man who was a preacher. He'd started home one night from a preaching engagement. Had his little four-year-old boy with him. And on the way home, as they approached a long bridge, they looked, and at the other end of the bridge, there was an accident. When they got closer, the man could tell it was a serious accident. He told his little boy, said, "You stay in the car. Daddy's going to go down and look and see what's happened." And he said, "No, Daddy, don't leave me in the car. I want to go with you." He said, "No, son." He said, "It looked like a real serious accident. You stay here in the car. And I'm going to go down there and see, and I'll be back in a little bit." But his son said, "Daddy, don't leave me here by myself. Please take me." And so his daddy gave in to his wishes and took the little boy down to the scene of the accident. There they saw mangled bodies, broken dead bodies of men. Soon others were stopping. Wasn't long until someone summoned the police and the ambulance. And they hauled several corpses away from the scene of the accident. This preacher, after the wreckage was cleared by the wreckers, he got into his car and drove to his home there in the state of Maryland. Said the little boy didn't say a word, the best he could remember, all the way home. They got home, he said, "Son, go on to bed." And the father went on to bed. In the morning, at 4 o'clock in the morning, the father got up to go to the restroom and happened to look down the hall. He saw a light coming out from underneath his little boy's bedroom door. He said, "Oh, the boy's forgotten to turn off the light." He moved down and opened the door, and what he saw gave him a funny feeling. For sitting on the bed, his hands folded, still fully dressed, was his little four-year-old boy standing there, sitting there staring out into space. And he said, "Son, why aren't you in bed? You should have been asleep long ago." And what he told his dad chilled him to his heart. He said, "Daddy, how can we sleep when men die? How can we sleep when men die?" And the question to the church tonight, how can we sleep when others are dying? How can we go on saying we know the way of holiness and use no effort in trying to reach others? At least those four lepers had more religion than some of us. For when they went out, they said, "Why sit we here till we die?" And they went out into the camp of the Syrians. And when they found food and raiment and treasures, they said, "We do not well, for this is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Let's go back into the city and share the good news so everybody can live." Brother, we've got a good story to tell. It's a true story. And Brother Green, I'd like to tell you tonight, amen, that may be a San Francisco song, but I'd like to know, folks to know that I know that he's alive. Hallelujah. I said he's alive. Amen. And I'm forgiven. And the song said, "Heaven's gates are open wide." Oh, hallelujah. I want to live. How about you? I want to live tonight. Amen. If you want to live, you better make a run for this altar. Amen. While every head's bowed, just play softly, please. Every head bowed. You'd lift a hand and say, "Brother Rich, I'm not saved, but I want to get saved tonight. I don't want to stay in sin until I die in my sins." Would you raise your hand quickly anywhere in this place tonight? You raise your hand and say, "I want to live. I want to live. Oh, I feel the Spirit of the Lord here right tonight." God's talking to somebody's heart. Somebody is being touched tonight by the hand of Jesus. Would you raise that hand? Say, "Brother Rich, I want to live. I realize if I go on in my own way, I'm going to die in my sins." Would you lift your hand quickly anywhere in this congregation? I'm waiting, I'm looking, I'm watching, and God is looking and waiting and watching. Could I see a hand anywhere? Say, "Brother Rich, I want to live." Can I see your hand? Hurry now. While we wait, we're getting ready to sing a song. But we're waiting just a moment longer. Somebody here tonight, oh, somebody here tonight is losing out. And you're dying. You're going away from God. You're losing the joy of the Lord in your heart. Oh, God. Oh, God. Could I see a hand quickly? Say, Brother Rich. Brother Rich, I used to know Jesus. I used to have the joy in my heart and my life. But tonight, I've lost that joy. But I want to live. I want to get reinstated. I want to feel that joy and the glory that God can give me in my soul once again. Could I see a hand quickly? Hurry now. Hurry. Just one hand lifted quickly. Raise that hand. Raise that hand. Raise that hand. Surely somebody has felt the touch of this message tonight. I want to live. Young person, do you want to live tonight? Older person, do you want to live tonight? Remember, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Would you raise that hand quickly? Go ahead and sing a verse of song. Maybe somebody will feel the tug at their heartstrings tonight. Please, tonight, please consider your soul. Yes, I see that hand. Are there another hand being lifted? Say, Brother Rich. Brother Rich, I need Jesus tonight. I need help tonight. Would there be another hand lifted? Hurry now. Hurry, we're going to wait while they sing just a verse of song. Have you wandered away? Have you wandered away from God?
Now I'm coming.
There should be other hands being lifted. Saying, Brother Rich, I want to live tonight. I want to live. I want to live. I wonder if that young man that raised his hand would like to just come on right now to the altar. That's right, son. Come on. Let Jesus help you tonight. Let him help you. That's the way. Amen.